Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin, as always on a Thursday. We got to take a look at this Detroit Lions game coming up. And dare I say, maybe there's a chance? A lot of banged up pieces for that Lions team. And we want to get an inside look at what this Lions team is really bringing to Chicago. I mean, listen. This is a battered and beaten group. It's going to be very interesting to see if they can still bounce back and fight through. And we got to get an inside look, like I said. So let's bring on Colton Pouncey from The Athletic, who is, I mean, always in the know on everything Detroit, breaking it down phenomenally over the at The Athletic. Colton, what's going on, my guy?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm glad that you're healthy. I'm glad that like you could make it to this podcast unlike the rest of the Lions going into the Bears game.
I might need to suit up at like linebacker or edge. I don't know.
People have told me I need to play left tackle for this team a couple of times after what we saw to Karan Amagaji last week.
Yeah.
I mean, let's start with the injury bug. I mean, of course, right, you're coming here to Chicago. It's going to be a tough environment, I guess, if just because of the injuries that you have. Is this a game where it's kind of like a measuring stick of like, all right, look, if we can't find a way to beat the Bears here with these injuries, it might be worse than we think it is.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the vibe out here. I think we're all kind of using this game to see like just what the Lions have left. You know, they have so many injured players. I think 16 guys on IR on defense alone. You know, six more, I think, on offense, if you include David Montgomery, who's not there yet, but will likely be there soon. This team is kind of reeling right now. But at the same time, like games like this is usually where they kind of hunker down and get together. They kind of have this like us versus everybody mentality when they hit the road. And it's weird to say that with a 12-2 team, you know, like they're still kind of like, I mean, we're still in first place. We can still accomplish all our regular season goals. But deep down, I think they know how injured they are. And they're probably going to use this game to kind of test where they are.
So the injuries, and there's 21 guys currently on injured reserve, but like the main ones, the defensive starters. There was no Aiden Hutchinson the last time these two teams played, but Aleem McNeil, he's on IR. Kyle Pecco is on IR. Alex Anzalone. Like all of these big names on one side of the ball. And we saw what happened in that second half when Caleb Williams became the only quarterback to throw three touchdown passes on a Detroit defense this season back in whatever week that was, week 13 before Thanksgiving. How different are they on defense now? Like, what do you think it's going to look like against a Bears team that's not great on offense, but might be able to catch a break potentially against a really injured team?
Yeah, you know, since that game, they've lost their starting cornerback, their best corner, in Carlton Davis. He, I think, fractured his jaw. The earliest he could return might be the NFC Championship game, it seems like they're saying. So he's definitely going to miss this one. Aleem McNeil, their star defensive tackle, tore his ACL. He's out for the season. So they're already reeling in that game, and they lost two more key pieces. So defensively, they're pretty thin. They're supposed to get some guys back. I think Ifeatu Melifonwu, their reserve safety, who was a starter last year. They kind of moved Brian Branch to safety this year, and he's been hurt most of the year, iffy. But if he returns, I think he could give them a little bit of a boost. But, I mean, man, this is not the same defense that started the year that was ranked top 10 for most of the season. They're kind of reeling here of late with all these injuries, and they're kind of taking a toll at the wrong time. So I think the Bears' offense should be able to put up some more points just because there's so many guys out, and they're throwing out so many new bodies, guys that just got here like a week or two ago, you know, are playing Jamal Adams, Quan Alexander, guys that basically signed off the street. So they're still trying to make the pieces work, and until they do, you could probably get them at the right time and put some points on them.
On the inverse side of it, you know, we talk about, you know, if a loss were to happen, it could go the other way. It could really signal a sign of the end. What would a win signal for Detroit? You mentioned them kind of hunkering down here, but it does that do anything against the Bears team that is the doormat right now of the division? And there is somewhat of a still an expectation that Detroit will come in here and get a win. But what does a win do for this Detroit team just kind of in the locker room, you think?
Yeah, a win would be huge, and I don't think they're overlooking any teams, especially the Bears. Dan Campbell knows that the Bears kind of play the Lions tough. So if you were able to get that win on the road, coming off a pretty crucial loss against the Bills, it puts their goals right back in front of them. You know, if they win the final three games against the Bears, 49ers, and Vikings, they can win the NFC North. They can clinch the first round bye, which will be much needed just based on how injured this team is.
Yeah.
So it puts all their goals in front of them for the regular season. And I think, you know, they're not going to apologize for beating anyone, whether it's a, you know, good team, bad team, whatever, anything in between. Their goal is just to win every game by at least 1 point. And if they do that, they'll be in pretty good shape.
All right. So let's go back to that Bills game really quick, because it's funny that they win a game where Jared Goff throws 5 interceptions against Houston earlier this year, and then they lose a game where he throws 5 touchdowns. Is that just a product of a Buffalo team who's been playing really well as of late on the road? Because we saw what they did the previous week against the Rams. But is that a product of the injuries? Is it something else? Is it just the fact that the Lions were on this long win streak and something was due to happen like this? How do you surmise what happened in week 15 in that loss?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the 5-interception game, that I feel like only Jared Goff can do that, to win a game with 5 interceptions and lose a game with, you know, the numbers he put up against Buffalo. But, you know, Buffalo was down, I think, 3 starters in their secondary. So they were kind of trying to stop the run more than anything, which they did a good job of. Lions sort of had to abandon that early in the game when they started trailing. So getting off to a slow start in that Bills game, when you knew you were going to have to win a shootout, kind of set them back and allowed them to kind of get away from the game that they want to play, which is to run the ball, play balanced offense, set up play action for Jared Goff, you know, things like that. They really kind of had to abandon that. But at the same time, I think Jared Goff kind of proved that he can keep them in games. I know they didn't win it, but, you know, he still put up 42 against a pretty solid Bills defense. So the goal right now is just for the offense to kind of carry this team. They know how battered the defense is. And Ben Johnson even said, look, how many points do we need to win that game? 49, 50. We put up 50 twice this season. We didn't do it. It wasn't enough. So that's kind of their mentality. They know the offense is going to have to carry them. They're one of the best in the NFL. And that's the healthier side of the ball right now. So they're going to need those guys come through.
Yeah. And to that point, I mean, listen, the loss of David Montgomery, of course, is going to be big, but it's not like you're without a really talented back there in Jahmyr Gibbs. How much do you think this would affect his game moving forward? Because we have seen kind of one of the few teams that have really worked well with that thunder and lightning dynamic, or I guess in their case, Sonic and Knuckles. I really, as a Sonic fan, I really didn't want to give him that moniker. I really didn't. I was pushing back on it, and then I saw Gibbs run, and I was like, there's no other nickname that fits. But yeah, how much do you think it affects Gibbs' game moving forward when, you know, he has had those moments where maybe Monty comes in for a couple of plays, maybe Monty comes in for an entire drive and just batters a defense?
Yeah, you know, when the Lions got these two running backs specifically, I think the vision was sort of the New Orleans model with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
And they've really held up to that hype since they've been here, both Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. So obviously the Lions would love to have both of them out there. That's not going to be the case, but they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs 12th overall for a reason. They always felt like if they needed him to be that guy, he could be the number one lead back, and they're going to need him right now. And Ben Johnson said today he feels he's ready for that opportunity. I imagine he'll get the majority of the snaps. At the same time, they still want to give him some balance. You know, he's sort of a smaller back. They don't want to put him out there too much and expose him to injury because they're going to need him the rest of the year. But I think he's ready to carry the load, and he's been one of the most efficient running backs with his touches, and I would expect that to continue even with an increased workload.
Now, what's the deal with Montgomery? Because he's not on injured reserve yet. He's getting another opinion. Like, I don't know how many it is, but it's a little weird, right? Because is there a chance? The Bears will not see him this week, obviously, correct, and he will not play the rest of the regular season. Is there a chance he could, with an MCL injury, come back at some point in the postseason?
He's certainly holding out hope, and that's why the Lions have not put him on IR right now. He's seeking a third opinion. I feel like when it gets to 3, that's usually not a good sign. So we'll see what happens there. It could just be the Lions kind of delaying it to see, you know, where his head's at, just to kind of appease him a little bit. But, you know, I would expect him to land an injured reserve at some point here. He just hasn't been put on there yet. But, yeah, I mean, there was a coat drive that he was a part of in Detroit a couple of days ago, and he told some reporters, like, I'm hoping I can return at some point. Now, what point that might be, we don't know. Maybe it's a Super Bowl. But that's going to be a tough injury to play through. And at some point, maybe the Lions are just like, look, man, we know you want to play, but the best thing for you is just to sit and we'll get you ready for 2025. So I think they're kind of in a holding pattern right now, is what Dan Campbell said. But yeah, he's not going to be around for at least the next few weeks.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of guys, right, who can potentially come back if a NFC title game is made or if you make it to the Super Bowl. How realistic is that still this season for the Lions, do you think? I mean, it would be unheard of for them to get to the Super Bowl with 21 guys on IR, and it might be the greatest Super Bowl feat that we've seen if they find a way to actually do it.
Yeah, I think they're just saving fodder for the 30 for 30 eventually, right? That's what this is. But no, I mean, yeah, Aiden Hutchinson, I think he went on Taylor Lautner's podcast of all things and said that.
That was an interesting one.
Yeah. And said that he still hopes to get back for the Super Bowl. But it's easy to say that and harder to do without a guy like him and so many others that are not playing right now. So I think the clearest path is, you know, take care of what you need to do in the regular season, get the first round bye, win the division, get the one seed. You'll have that week off. That'll do some guys good and get some bodies back. Win your first round matchup and host a game at the NFC Championship game. And, you know, if you can steal that, you know, maybe it's Philly coming here. I'm not sure, but that's going to be tough. Maybe Philly loses, you get an easier matchup. And then you're in the Super Bowl. So you really just got to win two once you get to the playoffs. So if you get that one seed, I think that's kind of where their mind's at right now. And again, easier said than done.
Home field advantage is important for a team that doesn't play well outdoors. Yeah. I mean, yes, I know they played well in Green Bay about a month ago or whenever it was, but you know, what we saw last year when they came to Chicago was a team that did not play well in the cold in week 14. Now, I don't want to to super magnify this, but is that something that they should, you know, that they're concerned about this week, just knowing how decimated they are on top of the circumstances of this game being outdoors at this point in the season at Soldier Field?
You know, I think they're less concerned about the outdoor part and more excited to play on the road because they feel like they kind of, like I mentioned earlier, they kind of hunker down and, you know, when everyone's doubting them, and I know it seems weird because they're still 12-2, but there are some people saying that their chances are done and they hear that stuff. So I think they're more concerned about, oh, this is what everyone's saying, then we got to prove them wrong. And, you know, that the Bears just happen to be next on schedule, outdoor stadium and whatnot. I don't think they're going to be scared to play I think Goff's been pretty solid in conditions, outdoor conditions this year and last year a little bit outside of that Bears game. But yeah, I think they're pretty motivated to get it done this week, and they've been practicing outdoors all week to kind of prepare for the cold. So yeah, we'll see what happens on Sunday, but I think they'll be ready to go.
Now, this is probably me going way too long term here, but I saw this team as it hurts me as a Chicago fan to say it, a magical team. I mean, how they were beating teams, it seemed like they were unstoppable at every turn. And we know that you don't always get that second chance in the NFL if they're not able to get it done this year. And I mean, listen, if they find ways to win, like maybe the magic continues, but if they're not able to get it done this year, now you got to start paying guys. Now you've got to start taking guys away from the team, finding new rookies to come in and different things like that. How realistic do you think it is that they can recreate this magic moving forward, especially in the sense of probably losing the guy who made the magic on the offensive side and Ben Johnson this offseason?
Yeah, you know, for some of us beat writers, we did kind of feel like this was sort of a last dance type of vibe this year, just because it's weird to say this is the second year of their playoff window, right? And they have so many young guys. But at the same time, Ben Johnson could easily leave for a job. They're lucky that they've been able to keep him the last 2 years. Aaron Glenn, what he's done with the defense and just kind of keeping it together with rubber bands and paper clips, you know, I think he's kind of earned some head coaching looks. He got some last year and might be able to land one this year. So those are two guys that have been with Campbell from the beginning. And, you know, if he does have to replace them, it's not going to look the same. Those are two trusted confidants that he has. And yeah, it's going to be a little different. And, you know, you are going to have to start paying guys. Some of those contracts kick in next year. When you get to a point where, you know, you're closing in on cap space, you're going to have to let some guys go. So that window probably starts next year and the year after. But it did kind of feel like this is like the last year to do it with the original group, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that they're so injured, and a lot of those guys that were here since 2021, like Ali McNeil and Alex Anzalone being out, you know, it's tough that you're not going to be able to maybe do it with some of those guys. But at the same time, they don't want anyone to feel sorry for them. They still got some games left to try to win and position themselves the best possible.
All right, let's go down the Ben Johnson rabbit hole here, because, of course, his name has been linked to this Bears job before Matt Eberflus was fired, and then certainly in the immediate aftermath, and it still is a big name. It feels like they're going to go offense here. They need to get somebody who can resurrect, you know, the things about Caleb Williams that have been dormant this year that they saw when they drafted him number one overall, and then be able to take the good that they've seen from him, continue that on, and fix the bad. What is Ben Johnson, from your estimation, in talking with him and hearing how he speaks? It kind of feels like he's somebody who at least believes, the way he puts off, that he's going to be able to call the shots within this cycle. Do you think that Chicago is a realistic possibility for him? Because you've heard a lot of reports that, oh, he might not want to go to a place that's dysfunctional. Like, is this going to be his call at the end of the day? Is that how you see it?
Are you saying the Bears are dysfunctional, Courtney?
Is that? Listen, we don't have to get disrespectful about them now.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know, there is some of that, and he's going to be very particular this cycle. I think last year and the year before, he was obviously just kind of saying yes to whatever came his way. I think this year it's going to be more opportunity-based and kind of say, like, look, this is where I see myself fitting in. So if he does take an interview with the team, I think it's going to be one of those where he's actually serious about it. And you know, in terms of what he looks for, he does want structure. He sees what the Lions have in place with Sheila Hampford, you know, with Dan Campbell, with Brad Holmes. He wants some stability at the top. Now, he does want to keep calling plays offensively, but he is going to have to learn kind of how to run a whole team instead of just the offense. So that's going to might be a bit of an adjustment for him wherever he goes. But I think he's ready. I think the longer he's been with Campbell, the more he's been able to see the full picture, whereas that might not have been the case in years past. So he's definitely taking his time. He's trying to prepare himself for the best possible, you know, long-term scenario. One thing he told to us is, you know, how many coaches are hired in a given cycle and how many of those coaches are gone after, you know, 3 years. He's like, probably more than half. The thing for me is I want to set myself up for a second contract. So I need to be in a place where I feel stable, I feel supported, and things like that. So that's what he's going to look for this cycle. I would imagine the Bears would be on the short list of teams just because they have a good situation there with a young quarterback that he can build around, some good pieces on that offense and even some the defensive side of the ball. The ownership, you know, we'll see if that's at his standards there. But at the very least, like, I think that's a good opportunity for him. And based on the jobs that are available, that's probably the best one right now. Maybe Jacksonville, if that opens up at the end of the year, that could be another one where he looks at. But I think the Bears are definitely going to be on the short list for him.
The word that has been thrown around Hallis Hall and me and Courtney have fumed about it has been leader of men. When you talk about the leader of men mentality, I think most Bears fans look at Dan Campbell and go, that would be exactly the guy that we wanted here. But we're not smart enough to go after that guy. Right. And taking a disciple of his, you would hope that some of those traits maybe have rubbed off. When you've covered Ben Johnson over the years, do you feel like some of that Dan Campbell aggressiveness and energy has changed at all Ben Johnson and has maybe adapted to him as an offensive play caller and just to how he would be as a head coach?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's impossible not to, you know, take some tendencies from a guy you've been around for 4 years now. And even when they're in Miami together, they worked together back then. So he knows what Dan's all about. And, you know, a lot of those fourth down calls that Dan goes for are Ben Johnson plays that end up working out. So I think he probably sees some of that aggression as like, this is how the NFL should operate. This is how teams should operate. At the same time, in terms of the leader of men, you know, symbol, I'm not sure if Ben fully embodies everything that Dan does in that sense. You know, Dan's kind of one of one, 6'5", former tight end, can get up in front of anyone and relate with anyone. Ben's not quite there. I think if there were a guy on the staff, it would probably be Aaron Glenn. He's kind of cut from the same cloth as Campbell. Both Texas guys, both Texas A&M guys, Bill Parcells' disciple, Sean Payton guys. So I would say Aaron Glenn probably fits that mold a little bit more. You know, he's sort of the, you know, locker room players coach guy. But I think, you know, just obviously being around Dan, as long as Ben has, I'm sure some of those tendencies have rubbed off on him, and he's probably ready for that opportunity.
Do you think, like, what's the biggest thing that he's done for Jared Goff? And do you think it will translate to a young quarterback who, you know, we've talked a lot about what Caleb Williams is in for. And it doesn't feel like, at least right now, just with the situation that Thomas Brown's in, that he's probably going to be one of their favorite strongest candidates. Just, you know, if they won a couple games here, if they look different, maybe that's a different story. But, you know, Caleb's going to have his third offensive coordinator, third voice in his headset by his 18th game. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson did a lot for Jared Goff in the last three seasons. What does he bring from that relationship that he would apply best to what a young quarterback would need?
Yeah, I think Ben would be great for Caleb. Really, he kind of takes what you do best and becomes a force multiplier for it. That's kind of what he did with Jared here. They went through a lot of their plays from Los Angeles when he was with the Rams and said, what do you like from this? What can we take and implement in Detroit? And how can we blend it with the things I want to do? And they sat down for basically a whole summer and kind of compiled a list of things that they want to do here in Detroit and kind of turned it into the game plan together, the playbook together. So I imagine he would do the same thing with Caleb. What does Caleb do well? He can extend plays. You know, he's a lot more mobile than Jared Goff. So I'm sure he could do more things with him in that sense. So I imagine he would just look for Caleb's greatest strengths. And, you know, he's watched his game. He said today that the ball sort of whistles when Caleb throws it. And he kind of saw that in the last time they played. So I imagine he would kind of sit down with him over full offseason, give him some input in the plays and say, what do you do? What do you like to do? And let's make it work. And that's kind of what he's great at. So he really just puts guys in a position to succeed. And for a young quarterback that hasn't had that stability, I think he would be great for him and potentially a long-term mentor as a head coach.
Now, over the 4 years that they've been able to work together, right, how have you seen him deal with some of the instabilities that have popped up to get you to this stable place? Because the one thing that I keep saying about bringing Ben Johnson here to the Bears is there's no Penei Sewell on this team. There's not even anybody close. You know what I mean? And there's not enough linemen for you to take Penei Sewell and drop him back for a pass on the right side. Like, you're not going to have the same stable footing here in Chicago that you have in Detroit. How is he adjusted? How does he adjust his play calling and his game style when it's not perfect? Because we have seen him in those not perfect moments and now in the perfect moment.
Yeah, you know, I've been covering him since 2022 now, and he's made it work with, you know, so many different players. They put up 40 points in the game without Amon-Ra St. Brown. Same thing with Sam Laporta in some of these games. You know, just they've been able to upgrade at talent, obviously, with the running back backfield and adding Jameson Williams into the mix. So right now, I think you're seeing like the fully realized version of the Lions offense.
Yeah.
But even a couple of years ago, you know, he basically coached Jamal Williams to a 17 touchdown season. And you see what he's done since he left Detroit. So, yeah, obviously not having a guy like Penei Sewell out in space blocking for you, it's going to be a little bit different. But, again, it's not just the quarterbacks that he puts in position to succeed. It's really the whole offense. And he'll figure out what guys do best, you know, how mobile his offensive linemen are, what they can do, their limitations, and then kind of work on that and build an offense around it. So he's really able to adapt to any situation.
You brought up another name that I want to touch on. That's Aaron Glenn. Because I remember last year, like the slide that Detroit's defense went on, and we're talking about, is this guy going to potentially be out of a job in a year? And then he's able to coordinate a defense that was top 10 for a big portion of the season. And then the injuries and all of that, being able to keep them afloat is probably just as impressive as what he did when they were fully healthy. Do you think he gets a job this cycle? Because I know that the Bears, it feels like they're going to be leaning offense. They have to with like the guy that they need to develop to get this return on investment. Mm-hmm. But there have been names like Mike Vrabel thrown out there and other defensive-minded coaches. I don't think Brian Flores is a very realistic option, but his name's been mentioned in there. Could Aaron Glenn be that guy? And like, what would make him a good candidate, whether it's in Chicago or another place that's looking for a head coach?
Yeah, it depends what's out there. It seems like the Bears probably want to lean offense there. But in terms of what's open right now, you know, the Saints job is open. Obviously, Aaron Glenn has a lot of familiarity with people out there.
Yeah,
I think he was a finalist for the job that went to Dennis Allen a few years ago. So if they want to keep going to that Sean Payton well, you know, his former assistants, then I think he would be high on the list and probably will be anyway. I just don't know if he's going to want to, you know, they're kind of in cap hell over there. So I don't know if he's going to want to wait for that job to rebuild, I guess, itself. But the Jets job is interesting, too. You know, he worked in the front office in New York for a couple of years as a scout. And if they're looking for a leader of men type after Aaron Rodgers basically burned that thing to the ground, then maybe that's a realistic fit for him. And then we'll see what other jobs open up. But, yeah, I mean, it is going to be tough because there are some guys like Vrabel out there who I actually think would be a really good fit for the Bears job if they don't want to go offense. Just because he's got that vibe and leader of men type mentality.
Yeah.
But yeah, as more jobs open up, I think you'll see Aaron Glenn get some interviews, and it's just a matter of, you know, whether the team thinks he's ready for one.
Now we've been so matter of fact, right, that this is the time. Ben Johnson's gone, Aaron Glenn is gone. We've been here before, right? We said last offseason, he's no way, he's not leaving, he's gonna take the job, they're gonna throw everything at him. He's like, no, I want to get this done here. I want to win here in Detroit. Is there any chance that once again they take their names out of the cycle if they don't end up getting it done here or in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, I think as weird as it sounds, I think there's a greater chance that Ben comes back than AG. If AG gets an opportunity, an offer, I think that he'll take it because he's always wanted to be a head coach, and I'm sure he feels he's ready. In terms of Ben Johnson, he told us at the end, you know, the NFC Championship game, they lost, they're on the plane right back, and the first thing he thought about was a speech from Dan Campbell in like October of 2022 or something like that. where he's just like, we're so close. I can see the light beyond the tunnels. You know, we're on the Arctic, you know, we're going through icebergs and I see the sunshine, you know. And he told us straight up, like, I just wanted more of that sunshine. And, you know, to be so close, and, you know, if they end up falling short in the NFC Championship game or divisional round, and it's clearly because of the injuries and the lack of depth,
yeah,
then maybe he comes back and tries to run it back another year. You know, he doesn't really seem concerned that he'll run out of opportunities or teams will get tired, because I think he realizes he has a lot more pull than people realize. So, yeah, if that's the case and it's a plan out like that, I could see Ben Johnson coming back. But again, it's just going to matter. It's going to be a matter of what jobs are open and if he feels like he's ready to leave.
Yeah, when you've got it like that, you can probably call your own shots.
For sure.
That's probably at least what he's thinking with it. That's, you know, every time you hear him talk, and I know that he's addressed this sort of stuff before. Some people may call it arrogant. Some people may say he's trying to circumvent the process and just rise to the top. But, well, if you're the hottest candidate out there, you might be able to have your way with that. All right, so let's look at this game one last time. Sunday, a 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoff in the snow or whatever it's going to be at Soldier Field. I know we have snow in the forecast in the next couple of days. How do you see this game playing out for the Lions and the Bears? Who are you picking?
Yeah, you know, it's weird because in one sense, it's like the Bears are getting the Lions at a good time, as injured as they are. You know, we'll see what they even look like. We haven't really seen it post Alim McNeil and now Carlton Davis and David Montgomery. So it could look different. But at the same time, I mean, this team has not lost two games in a row since they started off the 2022 season at 1-6. Mm-hmm. And there's something about this group that when they feel doubted, when their backs are against the wall, they kind of just get it done. And so I feel like Dan Campbell's going to have them fired up and motivated, which you feel like he didn't have them ready to go against the Bills, and they kind of came out flat. So I'd imagine there's going to be a greater emphasis on that. And if that happens, then the Bears could be catching them at the wrong time and get a fired up, motivated Lions team, giving it everything they have, with still a talented roster in place. So with that said, I would imagine, I think my score prediction would be like 31-23 or 24, because I think the Bears could put up some points, but I expect the Lions offense to get it done and kind of carry them to a win.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm right there with you. We have made an agreement on this show that we will no longer pick the Bears to win games, because every time we think they will, they show us that they ain't got it. Appreciate you for coming on, Colton. Appreciate you for rocking with us today. Let the people know where they can find you and where they can find your work at.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, I guess X now, at Colton_Pouncey. I'm on Blue Sky too, Colton Pouncey, whatever the Blue Sky handle is. And yeah, read my work at The Athletic, and yeah, check us out.
Man, stay tapped in with them, man. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening to us. For Colton and Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down, one love, and maybe it won't be as ugly as we think. Peace.